If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
President Biden over the weekend attended the confirmation of his grandson, but then Mitch McConnell said it's too close to an election and put all confirmations on hold.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor Wyatt Russell from The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But first, a closer look.
Half of all adults in the U.S. have now received at least one shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. And as of today, all adults are eligible, and as a result, even Republicans are admitting they're having a hard time criticizing President Biden. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. As horrific and nightmarish as the pandemic has been, and it is by no means over, especially throughout the rest of the world, we are now hitting some genuinely exciting milestones.
The race to vaccinate hitting two major milestones today. The CDC reports that 50% of all adults have received at least one vaccine dose, and 25% of all Americans are now fully vaccinated.
Starting today, every adult across the nation is eligible to get a COVID shot.
Folks, I have good news. Everybody is eligible as of today to get the vaccine. We have enough of it. You need to be protected, and you need, in turn, to protect your neighbors and your family. So please, get the vaccine.
When I think back to the lowest points of this hellish year, there were times when it was impossible to imagine the progress we're seeing now. There were times when I honestly thought there was a chance I'd be locked in the captain's quarters, talking to a painting for the rest of my life, urinating into jars, growing a long, scraggly beard, and rolling my eyes at dumb maritime-themed puns. Thankfully, that ship has sailed. I'm sorry. Half of adults have now gotten at least one shot, and all adults in the U.S. are eligible. It's a dramatic achievement worthy of celebration, especially considering where we were just a few months ago. Before the previous president left office, the vaccine rollout was in chaos. His administration had passed on the opportunity to buy more vaccine, and they'd made all kinds of wild and obviously insane promises, like the time Trump's chief of staff said they'd have 100 million doses by October and enough vaccine for every American by January.
We use all of our regulatory tools to bring vaccine available for the entire American population by January.
You know, in terms of the number of vials, what we're shooting for is to try to make sure that we have 100 million doses in that first tranche. And so that 100 million doses certainly is the benchmark that we've set. From there, there would be a second tranche that would get us up to the 300 million plus doses. That timeline for the 300 million is set as a January timeline in terms of what we're looking at.
He's so cagey. He's talking about vaccine distribution like he's telling a loan shark when he can expect his money. I'm going to get you your money. I got a job now and I stopped gambling. No more betting on the ponies for me. No siree. Oh, when can I have it by? Let's see. The Kentucky Derby is the first Saturday in May, so the first Sunday in May? And yes, when Biden took office and only promised 100 million shots in the first 100 days, that was clearly a lowball number. But it made sense to set lower expectations after the last guys overpromised on everything every time they opened their mouths. Not only do we think we will have 300 million vaccines by January, but we are now closer than ever to getting every American the nootropic pill, NZT-48, also known as the Limitless pill, taken by Bradley Cooper in the film Limitless. And as a reminder, this is a pill that will allow us to use our whole brain with no side effects. At least, I think that's the case, as I will admit I only watched the first tranche of that movie. Anyway, that obviously all turned out to be bull. The Trump administration had no interest in actually overseeing an effective vaccine rollout, so they just passed it off to the states. And it was initially a disaster. Biden, meanwhile, secured deals to buy more vaccine, brokered deals between rivals to produce more vaccine, and quickly ramped up a plan to use FEMA to set up federally run mass vaccination sites across the country, which for some reason Trump failed to do. Maybe because he didn't know what FEMA stood for and was too embarrassed to ask. Sir, we should coordinate between HHS and FEMA.
Right, right, right. The Federal Elegant Modeling Agency, is that right? So the models, they would administer the vaccines. And only 10s, right? Nobody's going to roll up their sleeve for a 7, I can tell you that.
But as encouraging as the vaccine rollout has been here in the U.S., it's been much less encouraging throughout the rest of the world, thanks in large part to vaccine hoarding by wealthy countries. Global COVID cases just hit a new weekly record, making this the worst week worldwide since the start of the pandemic. And that's why we need a more just and equitable distribution of vaccines to developing nations. So far, high-income countries already own more than half of all global doses purchased. And it's estimated that there will not be enough vaccine doses to cover the world's population until at least 2023. Meanwhile, the U.S. could have 300 million extra vaccine doses by the end of July. Let's send those extra vaccines to countries that need them. We certainly don't need them here. As a country, we don't do well with excess. We'll start having raves where Wall Street bros and social media influencers pass vials of Pfizer in bathrooms while dancing poorly to club music.
Hey, man. Hey, man, you want a hit of this uncut Pfizer? You'll have a sore arm for a few days, but then you'll be sky high.
I was thrown by the shots. It was in the script, but I still forgot what it would sound like. Now it's coming back. It's like sense memory, you know? I was like, what is that jarring sound? And then I'm like, oh, right, da club. Also, it's in our own interest to share our vaccines as well. If we don't slow down the spread of the virus around the world, then more variants will emerge, and we can't just stop them from coming here by encasing the U.S. in a protective bubble like we're in some Stephen King novel or the Simpsons movie. Almost identical plots. Crazy, but it's true. Nonetheless, there's hope on the vaccine front, so much so that Biden's approval numbers in a recent poll are as high as 59%, with only 39% saying they disapprove. And now, as a result of Biden's early popularity, a weird thing is happening, which is Republicans are basically admitting they don't know how to criticize him. After 4 years of a cruel, unpopular, crazy person who never won the popular vote and never cracked 50% job approval or a 50-degree angle on his spine, Republicans can't quite figure out how to attack a president who is well-liked and whose policies are popular. John Thune, the number two Senate Republican, said, "I don't think sometimes our messaging is as sharp as it should be because a lot of the things they're doing are things that are popular. When you're spending money, you're popular." He added to Biden, his tone is moderate, and he's an affable person. He's a likable individual, and a lot of us know him, have relationships with him, and it's probably harder to attack someone who is relatable and likable. Relatable, likable, and doing popular things. What is he, some kind of sorcerer? How does he do it? They're watching Biden like a bunch of prehistoric apes watching man make the first stone tools. Well, this isn't going to be fair now. Remember, Republicans have only won the presidential popular vote once in the last 32 years. They're used to being unpopular and just having the edge because of our unfair electoral system. They're genuinely befuddled by a president who's likable, doing popular stuff, even if it's obvious to the rest of us. Republicans are so desperate to criticize Biden, their only move is to call him a puppet. Yesterday, Fox News interviewed GOP Congressman Devin Nunes, who, speaking of puppets, looks like his eyes were hastily sewn onto his face. Remember that guy? He always looks like the claw machine dropped his Beanie Baby at the last second. Nunes suggested that there was actually some secret group of puppet masters pulling the strings behind Biden.
The question is we don't see a lot of Biden every day. I don't know, you know, but of course, nobody's really calling him out on, you know, what is his schedule? What is he actually doing? I think a lot of us wonder, and we didn't even see him in the campaign. So, you know, somebody clearly is behind the scenes controlling building these narratives out, and they put their people out and their mouthpieces.
It's true that you never heard Trump speak or read one of his tweets and thought, who's making him say that? But come on, Biden was literally just in the Rose Garden for a press conference with the Prime Minister of Japan on Friday. I know you guys only go on Fox News, but do you also only watch Fox News? I'm guessing anytime Biden gives a speech, Fox throws to some emergency standby episode of Jeanine Pirro's short-lived wine tasting show, Jeanine Pino. Now, the first thing we always do is inhale the bouquet. Smells like wine to me. Which means we're on to step two, downing it in one big-ass gulp. And to answer your question, no! You cannot have my keys! Also, you really have questions about what Joe Biden does all day? Say what you want about the guy, but he has the energy of a grandpa who insists on getting up at 4 a.m. to go for his daily power walk on the side of the highway. Grandpa, just stay in the cul-de-sac. I like to dodge the cars. It keeps me in shape. Give me my 3-pounders! Trump, meanwhile, spent so little time in the Oval Office, they could have rented it out on Airbnb, which, by the way, would have been a great early 2000s comedy starring Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. Oh, geez, that's a bus to Abraham Lincoln? I thought that was an ashtray. Buddy, we got to get out of here, buddy. I just hooked up with the Secretary of State, and now she won't leave me alone. We got to go, buddy. Similarly, Texas Senator John Cornyn suggested last week that Biden was perhaps being controlled by a secret group of leftists when he quoted a political article about Biden's communication strategy and added this, invites the question, is he really in charge? On Sunday, Cornyn was asked about that tweet and blamed Twitter.
My question, I guess, is, Senator Cornyn, is that helpful to be sending out a tweet questioning the President Biden's mental faculties?
Well, Chris, thank you for the question, because I think there's been a lot of confusion in the Twitterverse about that. That actually was a quote from a Politico story that I pasted into a tweet. And then I simply ask a question.
Man, I never want to hear a man your age say the word Twitterverse. It's like watching your dad twerk. Dad, knock it off. You're getting loose change everywhere. That's how at a loss these guys are to criticize Biden. And by the way, that's not to say there aren't things to criticize. There absolutely are. For example, last week, Biden announced, then quickly walked back his decision to break a campaign pledge and keep in place the historically low cap on refugee admissions set by the Trump administration rather than lift it, as he promised during the election. The Biden administration tried to reverse that announcement after progressives and refugee advocates were rightfully outraged.
Today, NBC News has learned the Biden administration intends to keep the cap for refugee admissions at 15,000. This, according to a senior administration official. It is a historically low level set by the previous Trump administration.
The Biden administration is now reversing course on its announcement that it would keep the refugee cap of 15,000 set by the Trump administration after facing fierce backlash from some progressive Democrats.
On Twitter, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez condemned the decision, saying, quote, "It's completely and utterly unacceptable. Biden promised to welcome immigrants, and people voted for him based on that promise. Upholding the xenophobic and racist policies of the Trump administration, including the historically low plummeted refugee cap, is flat out wrong. Keep your promise."
Pramila Jayapal, a House member who's the leader of the Progressive Caucus, saying, quote, "It is simply unacceptable and unconscionable that the Biden administration is not immediately repealing Donald Trump's harmful, xenophobic, and racist refugee cap that cruelly restricts refugee admissions to a historically low level."
Sources say that President Biden has resisted raising the Trump-era cap on refugees because of bad political optics.
I'm sorry, you were worried about optics? What's worse in terms of optics, breaking a campaign promise to lift a cruel and historically low refugee cap set by a racist predecessor, or tripping upwards on the stairs 3 times? And again, the best part of the 3-trip walk-up, the salute at the end to save it. Look, we all trip. It's fine. It's like when you eat on an icy sidewalk, then give everyone a thumbs up. As for the optics, Republicans are never, ever going to give you credit for anything, so stop chasing it. Republicans are like an emotionally distant dad from the 50s who sends you to boarding school where you could get straight A's, but if you're 5 minutes late for dinner, he'll say something cutting without looking up from his paper, like, "You call yourself an Exeter man?" Voters were craving competent governments after 4 years of cruelty, racism, and neglect, and now they're rewarding Biden for it in the polls. The left absolutely must keep pushing him on issues like refugee admissions and global vaccine distribution because Biden is clearly willing to react to pressure from progressives. As for Republicans, all they seem capable of doing is spending their time whining in
the Twitterverse.
This has been a closer look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest is a talented actor you know from such shows as The Good Lord Bird and Lodge 49. He stars as John Walker in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is available to stream on Disney Plus, with the season finale episode available this Friday. Please welcome to the show, Wyatt Russell. How are you, Wyatt?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm so very happy to have you here. I did not know this about you. I knew, obviously, you came from an acting family, and I became familiar with you as an actor, but you actually set out to be a professional hockey player.
Yeah, it was a long journey from Los Angeles. I moved to Vancouver to play when I was about 15, moved to a million different places after that, Colorado, Alabama, Toronto, Vancouver, and then I played my professional hockey in Germany and Holland, which I know that you spent some time there as well.
Yeah.
I lived in Groningen.
Groningen.
Like an hour and a half from
there. Yeah. So I was living in Amsterdam in my 20s, and you were living in Groningen, which is worse.
which is a little worse. It was really cool because it was like a different – Amsterdam, as you know, is this sort of – melting pot of all different types of cultures, and it's kind of an insane place. Where I was living was like a college town. It was really cool. I lived in the red light district in that town, and so it was a really different experience for me. But we didn't I couldn't partake in a lot of the fun stuff that everybody else may have because we were like drug tested and, you know, we couldn't lose our minds. So I don't think we were doing necessarily the same thing when we were there.
Yeah, it's probably safe. Probably, though, if you're in a college town in Groningen, there was a fair amount of Heineken. I'm guessing you were at least drinking that on tap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Heineken Cool Bar. Absolutely.
you're playing a character in this show that is, I guess, safe to say, not a fan favorite. But that must be one of the parts that makes it so much fun to play, the maybe villainous elements.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's what the part of what it was when I had my interview with the producers and the director was trying to figure out something different to do to bring to Captain America or the Marvel Universe in some way that I thought could be maybe unique, just because. You know, you're entering like a pretty big machine, and as a cog in a wheel, you want to be able to help it work and make it good. And so that was the aim, and that's the elicited response that has been from the Marvel fan universe is pretty great. It's kind of awesome, you know. It's minus the fear of life and limb. It's pretty good.
I mean, I will say it's nice because, you obviously have a beard. I've seen you with the beard in acting roles, so at least you must be slightly anonymous because you're walking around with a beard you don't have in the show.
Nobody knows. It's amazing, man. I have not been recognized one time, I swear to God. Not one time. I go anywhere. I went to a beach the other day, and I was like, you know, it's a huge show, and I get that everybody's watched. A lot of people are watching. But, and I like my anonymity. So my fear is that you're going to walk into a place and you're not going to be able to observe what's going on. It's part of my job. I observe people and then you see what they're doing and then copy this person that you saw and they'll never know. And so that's been a fear. I went to a beach called Paradise Cove, which is in Malibu. If you've been there, there's lots of people on an Easter weekend. And I was kind of nervous, like, oh man, this might kind of end up not so good. I walked down, either I'm like, terrible and everyone hates me and no one wants to come up to me to say hello, or nobody recognized who I was and it was walking around. It was amazing. So I prefer it this way.
You obviously wear, it seems like people, there's been a lot of memes about the show that is not uncommon with the Marvel project. Yeah. But this is really good. It looks like you look less like yourself and more like the character in Up.
I saw that. The first time a friend sent it on social media or anything of it filtered its way towards me because it was just too good. I showed that to my wife And I thought we were going to have a heart attack. It's so whoever, it's perfect. It's the post perfect.
So really? Good. And, you find out, don't ever lose the beard, man, because now you got up face.
I've got a future from the Marvel Universe, apparently, for a very long time, because I know Carl is pretty old.
That's true. congratulations. You and your wife just had a baby, four months old. Is that right?
Yeah. It's the best thing of all time. It's everything everyone says it is, and that's why everything I do, you do because you want to spend more time with your kid, and it's been amazing.
You named him Prine. I'm a huge John Prine fan myself. So much so that I regretted that it would make such a great name. I'm assuming that's why you did it?
Yeah, well, for Mare and I, we met playing music. Music's a big part of our lives. And John Prine was always one of our favorites, if not our favorite. We sang In Spite of Ourselves at our wedding, and he's a big part of it. And around the time, a big part of our relationship, and around the time that we found out we were pregnant, he had passed away, and it was as cheesy as it sounds. He was sort of, his lyrics in our life have been kind of important. He's always a person you can go back to and you can listen to, and a song you've heard 100 times can take on new meaning depending on where you are in your life. And so we thought that Prine was just a cool name. First of all, I like the way it sounds. And so Bud Prine is his middle name. So I figured if everyone calls him Bud and they wonder why they know his name, you can say, "Oh, you can go by Prine if you want. It's a cool name."
It's a really nice tribute and a really sweet thing to hear. And hey, man, thanks so much. It's really great to meet you, and congrats on the show.
Great to meet you too, and take care.
The season finale of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier will be released this Friday on Disney Plus.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.